Hello, and welcome to the Points to Podiums podcast. I'm Lori Hemmett.
I'm Nolan Hemmett.
And I'm Callan Nealon, back in the studio.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Callan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Awesome.
Hi, Callan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It was a wet and wild ride in Sao Paulo this weekend, bringing all kinds of drama as George Russell gets his maiden F1 win. Woohoo! Tensions are high in the Red Bull garage, though, as Max Verstappen gives Sergio Perez the cold shoulder in the Mexicans' tight fight for P2 in the Drivers' Championship. And, big news, Kevin Magnussen gets his first pole position and the first pole for Haas.
The Viking.
Woo! Big day for the Alpine pair, too, as they both have a tussle in the sprint, but managed to have a great race day. And Brazil just never disappoints, does it?
No, it does not.
Let's get into the headlines of the weekend. First, George Russell gets his maiden win for Mercedes in a 1-2 for the team. That was a pretty big deal.
I feel like it's been building to this.
Yes.
This whole, for like the past 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 races even. You know, I was saying earlier, you know, everyone's been waiting for Mercedes to kind of hit their stride. And, you know, Brazil is one of that races that favors that car. Mm-hmm. You know, the fast, tight corners have been really kind to the Mercedes. And they don't have the best straight line speed. I thought maybe that the Red Bulls would have a little bit better advantage that way. But that wasn't really the case. Red Bulls kind of were on the flat foot pretty much the entire weekend. And that's just... But the props to the Mercedes, though. I mean, 1-2. I mean, 1-2 in the sprint, 1-2 in the race. It's a perfect day for them. They couldn't ask for much more than that. And George Russell gets his maiden win. It's pretty spectacular.
It was a big deal.
Honestly,
I was excited to see that.
I would argue it's been building since last year when he got his chance in the Mercedes car. I mean,
yeah.
I think we all saw what he could do at that point. And then, like you said, this year, extremely consistent. It was bound to happen. And I'm glad it did before the end of the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've said all season long, I really like watching George Russell drive. He's just smooth. It's like he floats in that car and he goes really, really fast. Finally went fast enough yesterday, or whenever that day was. Sunday.
Yeah, this is something that the Mercedes team can build off of going into next year. This development has come in a late stage where Red Bull have both locked down both the constructors and the drivers. But this is kind of showing that, hey, there's kind of some cracks in the armor of this Red Bull team, and Mercedes are going to be definitely exploiting that for next year. And, mm-hmm. you know, don't count them out yet, because, you know, Mercedes, everyone, they might be saying, you know, okay, Red Bull, it's time to now dominate the however many years is left. But, you know, Mercedes is a team that, they know domination. They're very familiar with being dominant, a very dominant team, and they're not going to just sit aside and let, you know, this Red Bull team prance around them while they have really talented driver pairing still.
Mm-hmm.
And George Russell is doing a lot better things in that car than Valtteri Bottas would. I would argue that for sure.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And he's able to compete with Lewis Hamilton like he has been this year and beat Lewis Hamilton like he has been this year, I mean, the sky is the limit, and we should be very afraid of this Mercedes team going into next year.
Yeah, that's exciting. I do think that Lewis Hamilton and Verstappen never disappoint. Little tussle in after the...
Oh, yeah.
What was it? The start, you know. And they both
after the restart.
That was right at the restart. Yep.
That was crazy.
Yeah. You can't have Sao Paulo without drama, right?
I know.
But it can't really ask for much more for Sao Paulo. I love this track. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of the best tracks on the race, just of how fast flowing corners, super awesome straightaway with you have the bumps and then you go into turn one down the left. It's just, there's not much more you can ask for. I mean, it's a great atmosphere too. Big, huge Mercedes fans is in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much energy that gave the Mercedes team, but I mean, clear, huge victory for Mercedes going into next year for sure. They're going to be looking at this for the entire off season and thinking, this is how we need to win races.
Right.
And how sweet for George to get his first win, but Lewis be right there, you know, first 1-2 since 2020. And
yeah.
Big deal. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
So sweet weekend for them. And George won the sprint too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's great. And I think that's the only Yeah, that's the only British racing driver we've had this year. I think that hasn't happened since, or we were setting up to have no British race winners for like since 1950 something. Mm-hmm. But now George Russell sneaks in, gets on the podium. I mean, what much more can you ask? I mean, it's great. It's just Mercedes has been dominant this whole entire race weekend. It's been phenomenal for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice to just see somebody else doing well.
I was gonna say, like, it's always been Mercedes in the past, but then this whole year it's been Red Bull Max, you know, and so it was refreshing.
It was nice just to have a change of pace for see a different color.
Mm-hmm. yeah, which is weird to see that, like,
I know
after last year, be like, okay, fine, we're ready for some Max Verstappen to take over a little bit, or like some Red Bull dominance. Mm-hmm. But like, it's nice to see Mercedes back a little
quickly.
Bit.
I know. Changed,
nice,
you know?
Nice to see that back.
I know. It is kind of funny how we were all, mm-hmm. how quickly we switched, right? Mm-hmm. But speaking of, you know, having a different color and looking for some change, what a heartbreaker for Sergio Perez losing his P2 in the Drivers' Championship heading into the final round, just because Max Verstappen was selfish?
I think that's the easiest way to describe mm-hmm. it, I think.
It's probably the nicest way to describe it.
The nicest way, I would say.
It's the PG version, the G version.
I'm really disappointed in Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I don't really understand what happened. I think for all the people like me out there, you might need to give me another quick lowdown. I mean, I know what I saw, but I didn't understand what was going on. I just didn't get...
You go into the weekend, right? And Max Verstappen has this championship locked up mm-hmm. for both the constructors and the drivers. All he needs to do now, Christian Horner has said in the week prior when they won the drivers and then constructors, that the priority is now Sergio Perez to win P2 in that constructor in the driver's title against Charles Leclerc, who's been on some pretty decent form recently. It's really quite disappointing to see. Now that Christian Horner says that, okay, now the priority is now Sergio Perez, that you have your main driver who has 200-point advantage in the driver's lineup, the driver's standing, to be fighting for P6 when your second driver is tied for points now against mm-hmm. your main rival of Ferrari and Charles Leclerc.
Right.
I really don't understand either the call to make Verstappen switch with Sergio Perez with like 6 laps to go.
Yeah.
Don't understand that very much.
I don't get that.
Hold position. You mm-hmm. have, if you really wanted to take, at that point it's too late. You have not only Fernando Alonso above you to try to pass, who's
not going
to
let you pass.
Will not let you pass.
No.
No matter who you are. I mean, we saw him last year and even this year fighting Hamilton, and the man is not going to let somebody just says, oh, Verstappen, why don't you let through? I see you have better things to do than me.
Mm-hmm.
He's on an Alpine team that's competing to get as much points away from a McLaren team that had a double DNF, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that fight was going to be anywhere even close to being easy.
Right.
Even if you have Max Verstappen. I don't understand that call to let Sergio by. And I do not, for the life of me, do not understand why Max Verstappen doesn't give up that P6 spot for mm-hmm. Sergio Perez to get a 2-point advantage in the driver's standings over Charles Leclerc. It makes no sense to me at all.
It's almost like he was waiting all season, or ever since he won the championship at least, for this moment, and he got it when Checo needed to pass him the most, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I don't know, some grudge that he was holding, and it makes no sense, but.
Yeah, I mean, his only reason is, I've got my reasons, don't ask me again.
Right, mm-hmm.
Which, I'm sorry, that's not a great answer when mm-hmm. this guy's done everything to defend your championship for you. And
yeah, the amount of times that Sergio Perez has put his car or his race on the line for Max Verstappen's mm-hmm. championship hopes last year and then this year
mm-hmm.
is kind of a low ball move, especially, you know, Sergio Perez, quality driver, you got to help him out. I mean, if you want to lock down that second spot, you got to play as a team here. I mean, this is mm-hmm. a team sport all in all.
Well, you'd think Max would know that the most, too.
Like, right.
After everything Checo's done, like mm-hmm. you said, last year and this year, it's kind of shocking. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, his theory that in Monaco this year, when Verstappen was kind of taking a lead in that driver's championship, Sergio allegedly crashed it into turn eight in the qualifying. Whether or not that's true, I'm leaning on the side of false there, quite heavily, in fact, because what reason would Checo crash in Q3 when there's like a minute left, when you're in P3? If you crash, you're going to stay P3. When you have the two Ferraris ahead of you in Monaco, there's no way you would have known that Ferrari would have just let their race go with that in the race. Fortune favors Sergio, obviously, he wins Monaco. But there's no way for him to know that the calamity of Ferrari strategy team was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, Verstappen qualifies fourth. So right. Who's to say that they don't just take team orders and just have them switch in the first place? Or anyway, so whoever's all these Max fans that are saying it's justified because Sergio crashed it on purpose in Monaco is completely just BS, in my opinion.
And it's not justified, even if that is the case, because who gives a rip? It's in the past, and this guy's got a 200-point advantage. He's got this in the bag and has for weeks. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem – I don't know. I just don't understand it. It's certainly not a team-centered or team-oriented. I feel bad for Sergio because it will put tension on the team as they go into next year, because kind of like all gloves could be off, you know?
Yeah, I would love to see – I mean, this gives Sergio Perez all the reason to say, okay, I'm just going to race now.
Right.
And
right.
If the team's not going to support me, or if Mr. Max Verstappen – I mean, the team, granted, I'm not going to say doesn't support Sergio Perez. They obviously tried to. The team orders three or four times, tried to come in for Max Verstappen to switch again, but that obviously didn't happen. I mean, who's to say that Max just said, or Sergio just tunes all that out and says, okay, I'm going to pull a Nico Rosberg here and try to just beat Verstappen. I would love to see that next year. That's definitely what we're all going to be seeing next year. What does Sergio Perez do in Australia or day one? I mean, does he just completely ignore Verstappen? And now we would have a Daniel Ricciardo, Max Verstappen situation in 2017 where they both were competing for that title or competing for the driver one spot in that team. Yeah, I mean, Max Verstappen's not making it hard, making it easy for him. He's making himself public enemy number one in Mexico. So when they go to Mexico next year, I mean, if Charles Leclerc is able to win against Sergio Perez and the gap is 2 points or 1 point, man, they go to Mexico.
That's the thing. If it plays out like that, where Checo loses because of that, I mean. What a slap in the face.
It's terrible. That's really bad.
Because that's a big deal for Checo's been in F1 for a long time. Second place is a big deal for him. So that would suck if it works out that way. But hopefully Checo can outrace Charles and get those points and get second place. But I mean, it's gonna be close, so we'll see.
Speaking of Verstappen though, he didn't have a great race day.
He did not. I mean, actually, he had the elbows out the whole race. Mm-hmm. He didn't look very smooth.
Yeah, he had
the pace of the Red Bull was just not great in Sao Paulo. I mean, he crashes into Lewis Hamilton on the restart, gets a 5-second penalty. I will say it was kind of harsh penalty on Verstappen.
Yeah,
he does. If you notice, he gets the line. He wins the corner in turn one, and then going into turn two is kind of the right hander there. It's hard to kind of gauge, especially if you're going on the outside, like Verstappen did. Where now do you set up for keep the corner into turn two, because you have Lewis Hamilton to your left, who's not giving up any room.
Nope.
But I do think that Lewis Hamilton should have given up a little bit more room there. And I think the 5-second penalty for causing a collision is a little harsh, because I'm not sure where the stewards wanted Max Verstappen to go.
To go, right. I thought that same thing.
So, I mean, that's just my opinion. Yeah. I'm not a steward, though, so I guess I can't accurately judge these things.
I know. It's just like any sport. It's hard to call it in the moment. And then every time you go back and look at it, you always find the flaw. But I just didn't think Verstappen looked very disciplined. He looked kind of loose and a little bit raw.
I'm not sure why, though. I mean, yes, he has a 200-point lead or whatever in the drivers. And yes, he's a competitive guy who's going to try to still race for victories. But, like, you don't need to cost your team any more money. Because, I mean, you've already got a fine. And you're going to decrease your wind tunnel time for next year after the penalty that comes in from the FIA that says that they went over the budget for this year, which they did quite heavily. So they're going to get not only decreased wind tunnel time next year, but they got a pretty hefty fine for that as well.
But I'm that's like, because of the
the breach in budget.
Yeah,
the breach in budget for for this year.
That's right.
Or for last year, I should say. But yeah, I mean, why would you? I mean, don't cause your team more stress than they already have to. Because like you're coasting right now, man. Like just take chill out. Think about the team. Think about the costs of your team, and don't let all your like garage guys hate you now.
I know. It would be interesting to see how Christian Horner manages all this offseason, because there will be some offseason, you know.
There's just always drama in the Red Bull garage, especially when you have Max Verstappen and Helmut Marko around.
I know.
Yeah. And Christian Horner around and others. And Adrian Newey, who's kind of a weirdo, but makes great race cars. But
yeah, now you have tension between both the drivers, which you haven't really had.
I know.
You know, with Checo and Max until now. So.
That's the interesting part is they always played like they were, you know, besties and loved each other and everything. And then this happened and it kind of showed their true colors a little bit. Like maybe it's not all, you know, rainbows and unicorns in the
Checo in the even said garage. Himself, it shows who he really is. Yeah. That's what he said at the end.
So he's
and
been
right there, it's
that.
Like, ooh.
It's flashbacks to Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton of 2016. Or 2016 when Rosberg goes on to win the championship. I'd love that to see Sergio Perez actually stick it to Max Verstappen a little bit. He did in the earlier this year, but Max Verstappen is just too good and you know, he has that edge on him. But plenty of motivation for Sergio Perez next year, especially if he loses the second place.
Well, and the thing about Sergio Perez is he has proven time and time again that when he has motivation, he always, always steps up to the challenge and usually, you know, wins and overcomes the adversity or whatever it might be. So it will be interesting to see how it happens. I will be watching that kind of closely because I do really like Sergio.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a storyline for next year.
I know.
We'll appreciate that.
I know, right? Exactly. It was almost like it was like, it's like a Disney setup. It's a sequel. It's a cliffhanger.
I wonder if they got any of that stuff on for the Netflix for Drive to Survive.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So I hope they get some of the behind the scenes after the race for that and we can get an episode about that, because I feel like a full episode could be about this race. I mean, a lot happened. So
there was plenty of stories.
So I'll be excited to see if we can get some behind the scenes about that. Yeah.
Yep. So. That will be interesting. It'll be fun to see if they, you know, what they allow them to put out there. More to come on that. We'll have to do a podcast on the Drive to Survive.
I don't think
we're allowed to do that. Is there some sort of cop? Maybe not. Probably not.
Well, as long as you just
fair
talk
use
about it.
Fair use, exactly. Well, on a really, really, really kind of fun and positive note to start, and then a to end, Kevin Magnussen. I mean, come on. I know. I love the text message I got from you at
the
whatever
Viking
time on Saturday. You're not going to believe who took pole or whatever. And I immediately was like opening my app and figuring it all out and thinking, yes, the Haas. And then shablam. It wasn't even, what was it, half a lap?
Oh, the qualifying. Well, let's talk about the qualifying
for
a second. Then we'll get to the downer bit of this.
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about.
But I mean, God, I love the. I really think that F1 needs to have some sort of point system for qualifying, because the technological feat of getting pole position when the cars are at their fastest is a huge achievement for a team, and especially for a Haas team who has never gotten pole and who's really fighting for P8 in the championship against AlphaTauri, who are not the best in form, but I mean, so is neither is Haas. But, you know, there's a huge difference between P8 and P9 in the championship as far as allocated money goes, and Haas could use every penny of that. So, yeah, it was a great first start result for the Haas team. I mean, great qualifying. I mean, it was a little kind of it was a wet weather and then it was dry, but people didn't know if they wanted to go on the inters or the softs or not yet. But, I mean, props to the Haas team for they recognized that the rain was coming after Q3 started. And then they were able to get the first lap done, or the first hot lap done. They were the first in the queue out of the pits, and they had the track at its driest at that point with the softs. And they were able to, and Max and Magnussen comes in clutch, has a really good time of like a 117 or 116, or no, it was like a 111 something, 111.7. And he sticks it on pole because then the track starts to get a little damper, and the softs are not good on the damp surface. So, I mean, props to the Haas team for getting Kevin Magnussen out there, and props to Kevin Magnussen for getting a really solid time in sort of a damp weather condition with a soft tire on.
Yeah, he yep. I've really enjoyed watching him drive this year. Mm-hmm. It's been really
that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not smile? And if you watch like his reactions too at the end, it was fun to watch.
He was jazzed up.
And they were all you gotta have a smile on your face for all the guys in the garage there.
That's a big deal.
And then you contrast that with the Mick Schumacher getting 20th. Well, Kevin Magnussen,
I thought it was funny that they got first and last in qualifying.
I know, I saw the same thing, and I just Mick Schumacher. I just wish, I just want him to be good. I want him so badly to be good, but that poor guy. I don't know. I just don't know if it's a good fit for him.
That was the first thing I checked. Was like, oh, Kevin got first. Is Mick like in top five, top 10? Nope.
Number 20. It's all right. Well, then we go to the race day.
We go to the sprint. We'll go to the sprint first.
Well, let's go to the sprint first. Okay.
I mean, of
you're
course.
You're milking this
for Of course, the only time Kevin Magnussen gets a pole position of like any other team gets a pole position is on a sprint weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets passed by eight people, and he gets eighth. still a championship point worth there. So, hey, props to Kevin for sticking it out there. But, you know, unfortunately, in the race, not much happened other than him colliding with Daniel Ricciardo, which was all Daniel Ricciardo's fault, by the way.
Yeah.
Sticks a wing.
It actually was Daniel Ricciardo's fault. Did you watch it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd say it was pretty overt.
Yeah. What a sad ending to an exciting weekend for Kevin.
I know. I mean, God, the emotions.
I mean, could it end any more Haas than that, really?
Right. That's
the most Haas ending to a race. You start on pole position and you crash in the first second.
Literally. Like, they hadn't even gotten to a turn yet, I don't think. Or they were in one turn.
It was like turn three or four. It was like the first 30 seconds of the race.
Well,
I know.
I
was like, no. And I was like, is it Mick or is it Kevin? It was obviously Kevin because he was ahead of him. And I was like, oh.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh,
I mean, Mick didn't have a great... I mean, Mick actually had a pretty solid drive in the sprint. He got up to 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hey, that's pretty damn good for a guy who started P20th and had zero momentum going into the sprint. So,
no,
I mean,
that's
hey, that's not bad for a guy who's racing 24 laps and moves up eight places. But unfortunately for Kevin, he gets...
That's all right. There's always next year, Haas. Well, we have one more race.
I know. Maybe. I feel like they've qualified decently this year, but they always let us down right when the race starts. Just like, they don't
so
have the pace.
Up and down this
year. I just want to root for them so bad.
It's been so up and down this year.
Think back, didn't they have like a fifth and a sixth qualifying? Like both of them were
like
in
the
top
last
six.
Time you were with us, they had.
That's
we
right.
were all excited about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was before the race.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but yeah,
remember
it was
Silverstone.
Right.
Silverstone, they got double points.
Yes.
And then Austria, they got points too. Yeah. Double points too.
Well, more than they usually get. So hopefully that uptrend continues.
But they got a championship point for the weekend at least.
Yeah.
From the sprint.
Sprint. So that's good.
So, I mean, there's some consolation there, I guess.
You know, who's going to be the other Haas driver next year is the question if Mick is not in that seat. So
not going to be Daniel Ricciardo because he's probably going to be signing a contract with
Red Bull. Certainly not now since he knocked Kevin off of his pole.
Probably not.
Just kidding.
Probably Hülkenberg.
Right.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. We'll see.
Is he their backup? Who's he drive for now? Alpine?
No, he's the reserve driver for Aston Martin.
Remember,
because he drove for
Sebastian Vettel
for a couple races.
When he had COVID. That's right.
He
had COVID.
Wasn't he ahead of Latifi in the
he was.
Driver standings
for,
for a while?
Oh, that's right. That's
for a while.
Latifi.
That's the most Latifi thing ever.
And then DeVries was ahead of him for a little while because Monza result.
Oh, my God. That poor guy. Jesus. Well,
yeah,
we won't have to talk about him next year.
I'm excited for a Hülkenberg, and I mean they got guys who look pretty similar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
a German and a Dane. And mm-hmm. I think what's even better is that these two actually have some beef. They actually have some history.
Oh, that's interesting. If you remember, I didn't know that.
If you remember 2019, I think it was, or 2018, there was when Hulkenberg was driving for Renault, and obviously Kevin was driving for Haas, there was a crash in, I think, France. And it was totally Magnussen's fault, kind of. He, like, basically just cut him off. And then what happened was Hulkenberg flipped, like the Guan Yu Zhou kind of flip into the barrier, flipped his car. And then after the race, Hulkenberg finds Magnussen and, like, says, like, "Oh, great, you're the most dirtiest driver on the track." And then Kevin Magnussen, the most Kevin Magnussen thing to do, he says, "Suck my balls, mate."
Oh, I remember that clip.
I don't know why I don't remember that. I need to look that up.
Oh my gosh, but I think I've seen that clip. Yeah,
those two are gonna be racing for us next year.
They're gonna be.
That is awesome.
Oh my god, they're gonna be teammates. How great is that? Well, it could. Maybe it'll create some. I don't know. Flair.
Maybe they'll laugh it off. Maybe they don't. I know. Maybe they didn't forget. I don't know.
Wow, that'll be exciting. Well, moving on from Haas, Alpine. They had a great result this weekend.
Absolutely great result.
Especially after McLaren didn't finish both drivers.
I mean, I thought, man, after Singapore, I thought, well, man, this is pretty done and dusted for McLaren. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get P4 in this. This is a great job for them. But then Alpine, I don't know, find some extra gear, or they found some extra allocated money to put in their engine, because that engine that they have right now is very fast.
Yes.
Especially on the straights. I don't know if you could tell. I mean, Alonso
passed
dusting
Checo, right?
Dusting the Red Bulls.
That's right.
Yeah. On the straight line speed. I was like, you're going to dust a Red Bull on straight line speed? This does not compute.
I know. I was like, wow.
Yeah. And Alonso kind of, you know, he's just so, once he gets something in his head, he's hard to beat too.
Yeah. But I mean, there was some turmoil.
I was going to say at the end, I'm curious why not fight, or you can fight Alonso as Esteban Ocon, but I'm surprised by the team orders. Like, does Alonso really take the priority over Esteban Ocon? I don't know.
Well, I mean, Esteban Ocon is ahead of him in the Drivers' Championship. They're both 8th and 9th, I believe.
And then you have Alonso leaving the team. So
yeah.
I'm just curious where the priorities are with them.
Yeah, could you have Gasly
second to last
in
race? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, probably whoever.
I don't know if Alonso just was stronger and they thought that was their best chance of not getting passed by someone else, but it was right at the end. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by that. So, and Esteban was surprised, and he wasn't happy when he got those orders either. So yeah. But
there was a lot of team orders that weren't making people happy.
I know.
On Sunday. There's no doubt about that.
That added a lot of drama
and Esteban, spice to the
race.
Mm-hmm.
In the sprint, I mean, they both Alpines collided twice. I mean, Esteban not only hits Alonso coming into out of turn three or turn two, I believe, but it's Alonso again when he's trying to pass Ocon. Ocon does a little shimmy to the right, and Alonso breaks his wing off on his left tire. Crazy that wasn't a puncture on Ocon's car, but I mean that forces Fernando Alonso to go in the pits early on the sprint, replace a wing, and then now he's in last, and he gets 17th, and then he's able to climb all the way back up into fifth. Incredible drive.
Yeah.
Don't know how he wasn't driver of the day, or Charles Leclerc, really. I don't know how either of those two wasn't driver of the day. But Lewis Hamilton gets driver of the day for a reason.
I know. I don't really know why either.
Probably because, I don't know, he hit Max, but I mean,
everybody was like,
I was surprised when I saw that too. I was like,
yeah, it didn't seem like that was anticlimactic.
It's not like
me.
It was a landslide.
Yeah.
I think it was like 17% of the vote, but whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they make the Mercedes car over there pretty well, because that thing took a kind of a direct like torpedo from Max Verstappen, who didn't have anywhere to go really. And his floor kind of was damaged, but props to Lewis Hamilton getting second on a damaged car. That's pretty impressive.
Kidding.
Well, that Mercedes looks so strong, because George really didn't have a lot of troubles the whole race. He
not even
he was up there and he stayed there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
Super
strong. Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch him next year. I think he's coming into his own finally. I know we already kind of touched on that, but I'm just still kind of really excited about him. I don't know what it is about George Russell. I'm maybe becoming a fan. I don't know.
He has a way of targeting the Ferraris though and mm-hmm. getting them to spin mm-hmm. out. So maybe that's part of his strategy next year to just hit the back of Carlos or hit the back of Leclerc going into turn one of any place.
Right.
But that's just how he likes to. That's just how he does it. And then he has to blame the other guy too, which is part of his strategy as well.
Oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm.
Blaming the other guy is a huge part of Sergio. George Russell's.
Yeah.
Let's blame the other guy.
But he's also very polite about it. He's never very, you know, like, I don't know.
Not against Valtteri Bottas last year.
That's true. And Imola. That's right.
That wasn't very polite of him to give Valtteri a nice smack on the helmet after he wrecked into him.
I kind of forgot about that. But for the most part, he's like the most fun to listen to on the radio. On the radio.
Yeah, it's great. Because you know what's coming. He's like, oh, it's his fault.
Yep.
Check that. It's his fault.
Every time.
Oh, that's funny.
It was easy to become a fan of him last year uh-huh. with what he was doing in the Williams. And then, like I said, when he got that chance in the Merc too. So,
yeah. He's slowly becoming somebody I really like watching because I've always loved my boy Pierre, but he didn't do much this year, so I was a little anticlimactic mm-hmm. with him. But
it'll be new and exciting for Pierre next year. So hopefully he takes advantage of that.
That will be exciting to see in that French
hopefully, car. Hopefully, lead the Alpine team to success.
Yes, that would be good. Glory. Mm-hmm. That would be
in a pink jumpsuit.
Yes.
And a pink and baby blue
jumpsuit. And pink. Oh, that should be a movie. Pierre and Pink. Sorry, I went back to my 80s roots there for a minute. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so the results were in, and Red Bull is 7.
From Sunday.
I know. They're finally. In, finally. They're finally, phew, they're finally.
We're on Wednesday. They're finally.
It's Wednesday. We finally got them. No, just, you know, in general.
No, I know. I'm just
719 points for Red Bull over 524 over Ferrari.
We don't have to talk about
this.
It's already locked up.
Like,
the only one
crazy.
Really that can be really, if Ferrari really have a howler in Abu Dhabi
mm-hmm.
and they're able to get third, I don't think so because they have a 19 point advantage. But mm-hmm. with Ferrari, it's anything's possible.
I know because
with
they
how
could
far
end up,
they can tank.
I know they could end up mm-hmm. DNFing both cars in the first lap.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's just crazy.
I mean, yeah, there's some room for movement there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's
and look at Aston
room.
Martin right behind Alfa Romeo. That mm-hmm. could come down to this race too.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, no one saw
that. Do you
that
trust
coming.
Lance Stroll to do that for you?
Got a point. No. I don't know.
We'll see.
Hopefully Sebastian
Vettel
just
Lance. Hopefully Seb just
If Seb can get past Alfa Romeo, if he can get over 5 points, and that's like that is 6th place or 7th place. Man, what a result that would be for Aston Martin. That's saying that Alfa Romeo don't do anything in the Aston Marina. But Valtteri Bottas, you know, had some pace early in Sao Paulo, but then didn't really do much with it afterward. But it'd be interesting to see what good old Sebi can do in this final race.
In his final race.
Mm-hmm. So sad.
So sad.
I know. He's so cool.
Nine years.
That's a long time.
The worst part about F1
more than 9 years.
Saying goodbye to some of the best drivers.
Yeah, he started in 2009.
I wonder what he's going to do after. Has he said?
He's a philanthropist. He's going to donate a bunch of stuff.
Is he going to do the women's racing thing, you
probably.
Think? That would be so cool.
I would love him to be, if he's the commissioner of the W Series mm-hmm. or the... like some youth development thing.
Yeah.
He would be perfect for that mm-hmm. role.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Because the W Series it's like Formula 4, basically.
Right.
It's competitive. Well, not really, because Jamie Chadwick wins it every year for Williams. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to see more involvement from women in the sport, especially because now, you know, if you have programs set by Lewis Hamilton, who wants to have more inclusivity for black men and black women, but now, you know, the women's series, you know, there's room for a woman driver, and who knows who would that be in the future. Maybe I kind of want Jamie Chadwick to get a test with Williams.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool. I mean, she's mm-hmm. won the W Series past 4 years and 3 years in a row. I don't know if that makes you qualified to drive an F1 car. I think she should get at least some sort of drive with somebody just mm-hmm. to prove her worth. But you know, I think Sebastian Vettel would be the perfect guy to to help out with that. And I think that'd be exciting to see.
I just don't understand how there's like women's car racing. Like, how is it different? Okay. I suppose there's all kinds of stereotypes and jokes to be made, but I'm just saying, like, it's a car. It's different. I don't know why we can't have women and men both racing in the same track.
Well, because there's not training. Women don't really go into racing that often.
It'll just be interesting to see if they can.
It's an all boys club right now.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, you see women.
See if we can't break that ceiling.
You see women like. I forget her name on Red Bull, who's the strategy leader who's kicking ass right now for Red Bull. She's arguably the best strategist in the game right now.
Yeah, sounds like there's definitely room for women in the mix. It's just got to get exposure, got to get practice. It's expensive. It's time consuming. Mm-hmm. They've got to grow up just like these guys grow up doing it since they come out of the womb racing cars, you know?
That's the thing, is it's so expensive that are they willing to take that risk when there's been none so far? You know, who's going to be the one to to do
somebody's
it?
Somebody's got
to
do it.
And yeah, there it's.
There'll
it's
be
time.
Somebody. It'll be cool. Mm. All right. Well, the next race next week, Yas Marina, Abu Dhabi. Going to make some predictions, or do you want to talk a little bit about?
Well, last year.
Yeah.
I think is that all we have to say there? Last year in Yas Marina. God, that was a year ago. Jesus.
I know.
That's what I was saying, is I can't believe it's been a year since then already. Woo! And I can't believe it's the end of the season this year.
It flew by.
Literally flew by.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Darn, man.
When are we going to travel? Oh, next year. Are they going to be in Vegas next year?
I think we need to go to Vegas
next year. Oh, boy. You guys can go. I'll stay home.
Oh, come on. come on.
We got to go to Texas, too.
I know. That's the one I really want to go to, although hot. But
I know. I would love to go to Austin.
I know. That'd be so cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, predictions. So, Nolan, what do you think the results will be on Sunday?
Lewis Hamilton's going to win.
He's
going to do it. He's going to win every year of his career.
Okay. That's probably a really pretty good prediction.
What more motivation do you need, Lewis Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Carlos Sainz is going to get second and Max Verstappen is going to get third.
Interesting. Well, I would like for Max Verstappen to not get anything, but I suppose if he has to get something third, I'll take.
Mm-hmm.
Cal?
And then I'll say my driver of the day, too. Lewis Hamilton, obviously, because he'll win his first Grand Prix this year. And then my out-of-pocket... We'll say that Crofty and Martin Brundle mention what happened last year at least 11 times.
With Kimi, you mean?
With everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the whole thing was such a mess.
At least 11 times, plus or minus 10.5. That's the spread.
It does make you wonder, like, how many times are they going to talk
about?
I'll
take the over.
It's just such a mess.
I was even thinking, like, I'll be thinking about that the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like... Such a weird memory.
Yeah, I remember, you know, 7 in the morning, it's dark as hell.
I know.
I was falling back asleep because I thought it was over.
I know, and then it just got super weird.
It was a vivid memory for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll never
Latifi
forget that.
Latifi crashes, and then all of us, the radar dishes just went,
I think the fact that the race is at night, too, just made it, like, that much more, like, spooky and just weird vibes.
Yeah.
Heart was pounding.
Oh, man.
It was crazy.
Last lap.
I think we were screaming and hollering like at the top of our lungs.
8 in the morning. In the morning.
We had to go. Remember, we had to go to get biscuits and gravy when we were done because we were so worked up.
Yep. We had to have something to calm us down.
Yep. I remember calling my mom downstairs to watch the last lap before Max even passed Lewis. So
nuts.
Man. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
The race that got Michael Massey fired.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Total calamity.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a calamity.
Should Lewis have won his yeah.
Probably.
Lewis should have won. His total sham on the FIA, but here we are.
Yep.
So this will maybe
kind of make you think about Lewis Hamilton a little bit more, really going in to win this race. But well, Callum, what do you think?
Well, that's why I have Lewis winning as well. Not to copycat, but yeah, I agree. I mean, Lewis is gonna be racing super hard and gonna get his first win of the season.
I can't argue with the Mercedes form right now.
Right, exactly. You can't. I think Max will be right up there at second. I think he'll be a little trying to not prove himself. He doesn't need to prove himself, but I think he's going to be kind of hard-headed after last week.
Yeah, got a little chip on his shoulder.
And then Russell in third, because like you said, Mercedes is super strong right now. I think Russell We'll build off the win and get another podium. For driver of the day, I have Seb. Hopefully that's out of merit and he gets like a top 7, 8, something nice, you know? But I think a lot of people will also vote for him. So just because. So, you know, we'll see if I get that right.
That's a good call.
I'd vote for him.
Yeah, I'm going to as well so that my prediction becomes right. Yeah. out of pocket prediction, Charles and Checo will crash into each other and tie each other for points.
And then that means Charles Leclerc will win second place.
I was going to say, I don't know how that works out for a tiebreaker.
Because he's had more podiums or something?
Yeah.
So that'll be really dramatic if that happens.
Yes, but it will.
Yeah. So,
man. Crazy. And that would totally void everything that happened last week, too.
That would be crazy. Whoop.
Well, had Checo finished in front of Max, would that make a difference if they both DNF'd in this race?
If Checo ahead of Max?
Because he would have won by 2 points.
If Checo in Sao Paulo?
Correct.
Oh. No. I mean, it would have been 2 points because yes. Because
and then if they both DNF, he would be ahead.
Then be ahead. Yes. Right. He would be ahead.
So it doesn't totally void everything.
So it doesn't It doesn't totally void everything. You're right.
So that would be dramatic.
That would be. Maybe somebody will rig it so it goes down like that.
Or Charles Leclerc would just, you know.
That'd be crazy.
It'll be interesting.
I'm sure they'll both be, one of them will be in front of the other at some point in the race. Well, That's usually how it works out.
They're always with each other.
And you can't really rely on the qualifying pace here because the race is racy. And and this track is a great place. It's not easy. It's easier to overtake than others. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Sao Paulo that way, where you have the fast tight corners and you have definitely different areas to overtake. So qualifying pace, yes, is going to matter, but still you can recover from your qualifying if it's not as good. And then you can still, especially whoever's faster in the race day is going to obviously win.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoever's fastest will win.
Whoever's faster in the race will win.
Whoever scores more points will win that game. Is that how that works? Yeah, that's good. That's a good prediction. I'm going to say Sergio Perez just because I feel
just
like
an
he's,
exclamation
I do.
Point
I just feel
ear.
Like he's. I
just
feel like he's mad.
Screw you to Max Verstappen.
I just feel like he's got a. I don't know. He's just gonna have a massive chip on his shoulder. I don't know. I mean,
well, has every right to.
He does.
Every
at
right
this
to.
Point. Yep. Yeah. And that's. It's not like we're waiting 2 or 3 weeks for the next race.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
He's still, tension's still there for sure.
Right. And then I think he could say something like, you know, I've got my reasons or something super snarky and
be awesome.
Be just great. Yeah. You know, Lewis Hamilton, I think will be up in there. I think he'll be on the podium. I don't know where he'll be. I do agree with you that he's also got a chip on his shoulder to prove. But at this point, I don't know. He can't win. So I don't know. I just feel like Sergio's got more moxie right now. And then I think Max will come in third. I think the driver of the day will be Sergio just simply because he's going to stick it to Max. And I think it's going to make everybody happy. But I think I think Callan actually has a point, though, that Seb probably will get driver of the day just because it's going to be.
Just
because
it's his last race.
It'll, tug on the
I don't think we've seen the last of Daniel Ricciardo yet.
I think
he'll come back.
I don't believe
I don't think we have seen the last of him.
Okay.
But we definitely...
I wrote that. I said Danny Ric's last race for now.
For now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe when Audi joins and buys.
Oh, there you go.
What is that? Alfa Romeo? Mm-hmm. For Sauber from Alfa Romeo? Maybe we'll see.
Maybe we'll see
Sebi come back.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting?
For a German team.
Okay.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
He said he's not going to count it out yet. So...
Well, what about Mick? Maybe Mick will drive for them.
Mick and an all-German team on the...
that'd be fun.
The German constructor.
Going by way of Alpine with all the French. My out-of-pocket prediction is that Nick this is just ridiculous, but that Nicholas Latifi finishes in the top 10.
Oh!
You know, it'd be good to say that he finishes, but he has finished a few.
I like that call, actually. Get some redemption from last year.
I was going to say,
because it was all his fault.
I wonder how he feels about
he was
what
the catalyst
last year, because had that not happened, I mean, wow.
I know.
Probably got a nice fat birthday cake from
a big hug from Max Verstappen.
I doubt it. Max Verstappen.
Helmut Marko. Nice firm handshake from Helmut Marko in the Red Bull garage.
Oh,
thanks, buddy, for crashing. I'll pay for your car for you. I appreciate that.
Oh my gosh, what a crazy day. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I can't wait.
Yeah, man, it's the last race.
One.
I know.
Super sad.
I know.
But
can't wait for next year.
I was going to say, I feel like the break time flew by last year. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, we're starting again. Okay. Yep. So yep. I'm sure we'll feel the same way.
I feel like we had a really slow start this year. It just seems like it took everybody a long time to get used to that new car. So I think it's been exciting the last few races because the cars are finally working right. They're not doing all that crazy stuff like they were doing at the beginning of the season. So this will be a great race. I'm looking forward to it. And
last episode, season one.
Last episode of Points Podiums
are next week.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Last episode, season one.
Oh, geez. We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Well, good job, everybody. And we will see you next week.
See you next week after Abu Dhabi and Yas Marina.
Let's go for
Let's go to Latifi.
Latifi.